Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
You know, it has been said that evangelism is the lifeblood of the church. The Bible identifies for us is that we have the Great Commission to go and to seek and to save those who are lost. And good people in the Lord's church, I believe that we do a very good job about training and teaching individuals to go and to proclaim the good news about Christ unto the lost souls that are here in this nation and even beyond. We spend funds, we give funding to help individuals to go and their families to go into countries and to spend much time in preaching and teaching Jesus Christ. We encourage men and their families to go, and we then therefore send them out with the good news about how that man can have salvation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And good people, while in all of this, we need to understand the importance of the commandment to go into all the world and to teach Christ, how well do we do on the home front? Whenever we think about the educational work of the church, we need to understand the importance of teaching and training here in the local congregation. Material is very essential in order for us to be able to accomplish that, and I know our elders and deacons spend much time in looking to the types of material that is needed, and they coordinate with our teachers, and much effort is given to make certain that we have scriptural material and material that's going to fit the mode of what we're trying to accomplish here as a congregation. It is also important for us to spend much time in training individuals as they are growing in their faith and as they are growing in their involvement in the church, to spend time to train people to go into the classroom so that our classrooms will be exactly what is going to be necessary in order for us to accomplish glorifying God and bringing souls to Christ. Teachers are needed time and again. And you know, as quarters roll around throughout the entirety of a year, throughout the brotherhood, many congregations struggle to be able to get people to go in, teachers to go in and to fill those classes. Good people, we have examples given in and throughout the New Testament Scripture of those who understood the importance of going and preaching and teaching. Jesus Christ certainly serves as the top example of what we need to understand in regard to those who serve the church as teachers. Jesus Christ spent His life seeking and saving those who were lost, and He understood that in order for Him to be able to bring people unto salvation through Him unto God, is that mankind needed to be taught about God, and therefore Jesus spent His life teaching people about the eternality of God, the power of God, and the love of our God. And He also wanted to do all that He could to tell people about the will of God, how that God had in His will to save man, and how that He Himself fit into that will to be the Savior for humanity. And good people, He went everywhere telling everyone about the will of God. And He also spent much time training men, the apostles. He knew that His life upon the face of this earth was limited, that He was not going to spend forever here. And for that reason, good people, He did everything that He knew to do to train others who would take His place whenever He died. And certainly these men understood very much so their responsibility. So much so that as we look to the day of Pentecost, Peter is responsible for teaching many there that day. As we look to the lesson of Peter, good people, we see is that he spent much time in his lesson explaining things about Christ. He wanted man to understand that Jesus Christ was indeed the Messiah whom God had promised would be sent into the world. He spent much time explaining how that mankind had rejected our Lord and Savior and how that they had crucified Him, putting Him to the cross. He wanted to inform these individuals that they had sinned against God previously, prior to Jesus coming, but also that they had sinned in crucifying the Son of the living God. And you find then, as He closed out His lesson that day, that people's hearts were pricked because He had spent the time to tell them, to teach them, to inform them of what it is that God requires. And then we find this man calling upon them to repent of their sins and calling upon them to obey Christ in baptism. Peter took the time to teach many, and good people, we understand as we go forward in Scripture, is that Philip took time to teach one individual. He had been involved in an evangelistic opportunity in Samaria, in and around Judea, teaching multitude of both men and women. And good people, they had been very successful in teaching and training these individuals concerning Christ. But God had separated him by calling and sending the Holy Spirit upon in a message unto him that he was to go and to join himself unto an Ethiopian eunuch. And what did he do? The Bible identifies as that he went and he did exactly as God commissioned him. And whenever he saw this individual, he ran and joined himself to him. And he heard the man reading. And he read from the book of Isaiah 53. And Peter started there where this man was reading. And he taught unto him Jesus Christ. And he reasoned within the Scripture about Jesus and how that individuals could have salvation through Christ if they would only love Christ with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength and believe in Christ and confess Christ to be the Son of the living God. And good people, based out of what it is that Philip did with this Ethiopian eunuch, we understand that this man put Christ on in baptism and he went on his way rejoicing. Whenever we come to another individual in the New Testament Scripture, whom we know as the Bible identifies as the Apostle Paul, we see that the Apostle Paul never favored anyone over another as he was reaching out to preach and to teach people. We are told in Scripture that he was sent primarily into the Gentiles, and good people, he went telling these individuals about Christ, but also we understand is that he went into the synagogues. He went and he studied with those who were Jews. And whenever Paul was dealing with either Jew or Gentile, he did not see them as such, but rather what I believe he saw them as was a soul, a precious soul that needed to hear of God's saving grace through our Lord and Savior. But also, good people, we need to understand is that the Lord's disciples, as the New Testament Scripture explains, they went everywhere. Everywhere telling the world about Christ. And we understand the method that these individuals used is that they went teaching the truth that God wants man to understand and to embrace in order for them to have the forgiveness of sin. But they taught very boldly the will and the way of God. But also, as you consider these men and their lifestyle, they were very humble men in the way in which they dealt with the souls of mankind. And they taught very accurately the things that God wanted communicated unto the people of that given day. Good people, the Bible identifies unto us as that Christianity is a taught religion. Faith is essential in order for people to be pleasing and acceptable unto our God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Those who come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. How is it then that people are going to be able to acquire a faith that's going to be pleasing and acceptable to God? The Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so then now faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And good people, you and I as Christians, we have been sent to tell people about Christ, to help them to gain faith, to establish faith concerning Christ and the salvation that is extended through our God and in Christ Jesus our Lord. You and I need to understand that Christianity is a taught religion, and if it is ever going to be taught unto the world, you and I have to take the reins and to go and to tell people about the saving grace of our God through Christ. Parents have a requirement from our God to teach their children at home. As we think in regard to teaching the world, we need to understand the importance of teaching and training our families, teaching and training our children while we have them in our homes. The Bible reveals unto us is that the father has been given the responsibility as to serve as the head in the house. What does God mean in identifying that the male is to serve as head in the house? Good people, I believe that God is trying to get man to understand is that we have the responsibility as well as the privilege to lead our families according to the way of God. We need to take time then to teach our families, our wives, our spouse, our children concerning the way of God. And moms and dads need to work together to teach our children, to teach our families, and to train them in regard to what it is that our God requires of them and of us in order for us to be pleasing unto God throughout the course of our life here. But also tonight, as I stand before you, I tell you that the Lord's church is a teaching institution. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah chapter 2 verses 1 through 4 is that God would call upon all nations of people to come unto Him. How is it that man is called unto God? According to what the Apostle Paul taught in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, man is taught of God. Man is brought forward unto God through the proclamation of the gospel. We are called unto God through the gospel. In the book of John chapter 6 and verse 44, all who are being called or drawn unto God, that they can be children of God. How is it that these people are drawn unto God? Whenever they are taught concerning the will and the way of God. The church has a responsibility to stand and to teach what it is that God expects of man. We do that from the pulpit. But also, not only should we understand the importance of doing that from the pulpit, we need to continue to understand, as well as to strengthen our understanding of the essentiality of accomplishing this in and through the classroom. The church has the responsibility to teach the truth, and therefore we understand that we must support the truth that is found in the Scripture. And we also need to realize tonight and to always take this to consideration as we look to not only serving God faithfully in life, but also whenever it comes to our relationship with the church, is that God will hold us accountable for what we do or what we do not do. When it comes to our personal life, we need to live our life for God. Why? It ought to be because we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to realize that someday we will stand before Him in judgment to give an account of our life. But also, whenever it comes to family matters, we need to make certain, fathers and mothers, is that we are doing all that we can to teach and to train our families, knowing that we will give an account unto God for the souls, these precious souls that God has placed within our care and within our homes. But also, as I stand before you tonight presenting this lesson, I tell you that I believe that God will look to our involvement or maybe lack of involvement in the works of the church, because the church was given by Christ and the church is important to our Lord, and the church ought to be important to you and me. And our God gives us multiple opportunities to teach in the church. And He gives us talents so that we are able to stand and to do what it is that He commands us to do. He makes certain that we're not going to fail. If we fail, it's not God's fault, but rather, good people, it would be our fault. And our elders understand this. We are blessed with four men who serve the Lord faithfully, and they want so much to lead us in the way of God. Our elders have the responsibility of feeding the flock over the which the Holy Spirit has made them overseers. They have the role and the responsibility of leading us down the path of righteousness and to guard against those who would be considered false teachers. And how did they do that? They do that by standing in front of us from time to time and instructing us. But good people, also, they do that through the classroom. They do that through teachers who stand in the classrooms and preach and teach the things that God expects mankind to know. And as I stand before you tonight, I tell you that our kids are very eager to learn the Word of God. I am amazed that sometimes as I get an opportunity before our Sunday morning classes, or even on Wednesday nights, I'll traipse off down the halls and shake hands with the kids and to see all of these kids who are in those classrooms. They're there. Why? Because they love one another and because they love God. because they love God's Word and they want so much to be able to hear God's Word taught unto them. To these kids, God is everything. And it's seen in the way in which they attend worship services, also the way in which they pack into these classes. And kids, thank you for your love for God and your desire to be in these classes. But also, what about Vacation Bible School? That's another area from time to time wherein that we struggle from, it seems like, year to year in order to be to fill our classes with teachers, not with kids, but with teachers. Good people, our kids are very eager to learn. And these precious souls need guidance. We live in a world today where these kids are surrounded by all kinds of temptation. And while I realize that Solomon says there's nothing new under the sun, good people, I tell you that I believe that Satan's working in ways that fit into our modern society that I've not seen in my lifetime. It seems like he's always coming at our kids in different ways to influence them, to draw them into the things that are identified in Scripture as ungodly, and to challenge them in ways to where that they would say, well, why would I want to serve God with all of these challenges in my life? And you and I know that that's not right. And we need to stand before our children as teachers and to tell them, to encourage them, to guide them in the way of our God. You know, we are blessed here at East End with some amazing teachers. Men and women who do go each quarter into the classes. And what I find in regard to those who go into the classes is that you have a love. You have a love for God. A love that says that, God, I love you so much that I want to make certain that I communicate to others the love that you have for mankind. You have a love for these kids, for these precious souls. And you realize the importance that you play in their life of going in and teaching and training them concerning the way of God. But also, I tell you that I think as I look at you as teachers, I see that you have a love for the church, a love for the body of Christ. And you realize the good that can come not only in this present age, but also in future generations of you going in and helping to train these children and to teach them the will of God. But tonight I also tell you that not only are we blessed with amazing teachers, we also have a need for others to get involved in this great work. Why? Because sometimes our teachers can indeed get worn out. They go into the class time after time, quarter after quarter, and as a result of that then, they can get burnt out, and we don't want our teachers to get burnt out. And if everyone who is responsible for going in and teaching would step up and to teach, we wouldn't have to worry about people being burnt out. But also, there's that need for our teachers to go out of the classroom so that they can come into a classroom to even be taught themselves, so that they can receive further instruction and training concerning what it is that is required of them in their personal life also as they would go in and to teach. We need teachers in addition to the blessed teachers that we have already involved in the works of the church. Who ought to be involved in helping to teach here at East End and, in fact, throughout the Brotherhood? Our preachers should. Our preachers are responsible for preaching and teaching. And you know, I had never sat down to do the math until tonight, right before services. I develop anywhere between 250 and 300 lessons a year. That's a lot of lessons to develop and then to present. And that's not counting writing articles and things of that nature. And you know, in all of that, I love my work, the work that I'm able to do here with this congregation. What a blessing you bestow upon me and upon my family to be able to work with this church. You are our brothers and sisters in Christ, and you work with us, you work for us, as we all work for the Lord, with and under the oversight of our eldership. And thank you for that opportunity. And I pray that I will always do what it is that God expects out of me and what this congregation needs of me to preach and to teach the Word of God. But also, we realize is that our elders and deacons have a responsibility of teaching, of stepping up to the plate. The Bible says that those who serve in the eldership ought to be apt to teach. Well, what does that mean? It means that they ought to have an ability. The knowledge also conjoined with the knowledge. They ought to have a desire to stand and to teach from time to time, either in the classroom or even in the private setting. And our elders do that. If not from the classroom, they go time and again to teach people about the will of God. They need to demonstrate before the congregation, not only the elders but our deacons, getting involved in the work if we're going to serve in the church. And that's what a deacon is. One of the greatest services that we can bring to the church is not only to live our life faithful before God, but now to stand and to help instruct others concerning what God expects man to know in life. But also the Bible identifies unto us is that the older men and the older women of the church should teach. Why should these individuals teach? You know, it's interesting as you look to those who teach in the church, sometimes our older people will say, I've done that. I've already put in my time and I'm not doing it anymore. Or, you know, it's time for somebody else to step up to the plate. And I understand all of that. By all means, I see where that maybe you have taught as an older individual, and now you say, I'm burned out. And if so, I hope and pray that you'll be able to recover from that and go back into the classroom. But in all of that, good people, why does God expect our older men and women to step up and to teach, and not only to teach from a secular standpoint or outside of the body of Christ, but to teach, I believe, even in the church? Because you are the mature members of the church. You are the ones who are educated, rooted, and grounded in the truth. And therefore, you have so much to share. If only you will take that opportunity that God affords you to go and to enter into the classroom, to share that wealth of knowledge of God's Word and that experience that you have been able to acquire over the course of your life here. But you know also, I believe the Bible identifies as that those who are counted as members of the body of Christ, whether they're old, young, middle-aged, in general, all of us have a responsibility to go in and to teach, to know what God's will is, and then to communicate His will unto others, and even our youth. And somebody might say, what do you mean our youth going in and teaching? Good people, I believe that this is an opportunity for them to go in and to help teachers. It's an opportunity for them to go in and to train under experienced teachers, and even for them to get their feet wet in teaching or instructing others. And what a blessing this would bring to them in their life, but also what an encouragement it would bring unto those that they are going in and to help teach, to bring them to the knowledge of Christ. Some instructions that we find in regard that are given by our God concerning those who do go in and to teach is that teachers always need to be encouraging. As we look to teaching our children, I want to encourage us that if we're doing it in the home or here as the body of Christ, is that we speak words unto edification. That word edification or edify means to build up. Everything that you and I say ought to help to establish these individuals, to encourage these individuals, these precious souls, that God loves them and that we need them to be a part of the work of the church here. But also, I believe that teachers need to be perceptive. We need to be observers. Do you remember what it is that the Apostle Paul did whenever he went into Athens? Good people, as Paul entered into Athens, I believe that he was looking around and about him, and what is it that he saw? He saw that these people were very religious, very superstitious even. And as he observed the gods, the man-made images there amongst these people, I can only imagine how taken back he was, and yet at the same time he said to himself, maybe, you know, these people certainly need to know about the true and living God. He learned so much. And I believe not only did he see these things, he would have listened to the conversation that was going on around and about him as he was there. And he was learning what it is that he needed to deal with these people as he was teaching them about Christ and about our God. And as teachers, we need to observe those who are in our classes. We need to look to the needs that these kids have. We need to listen to the things that they say, the things that are going on in their life, the things that maybe they're dealing with even at home or at school. And we can learn so much so that we're then able to educate them, to encourage them, and to instruct them in the ways of God. And I believe that our teachers need to be motivated as they go into the classroom. The Bible says much about us having a zeal for God. Having a zeal for God, in part anyway, identifies is that we need to be happy. We need to be happy about being Christians, and we need to be joyful with the opportunities that God lays before us. And if we go into these classes, our students need to see that we are on fire for the Lord, and that not only do we love the Lord, but in like figure, we love them. And being there with them is the most important thing that we can do at that given time. And those kids know whether or not we feel like that. And we ought to be motivated as we go into the classes and allow those kids to feel that motivation, that love that we have for our God and for them, and allow them then to be motivated as a result of that. But you know, too, I believe that the Bible teaches that we need to be prepared as teachers as we go into the classroom. Well, prepared, why? Good people, I believe that teaching God's Word is the most important thing that we can do in life. Being a Christian is actually, I guess, the most important thing we can do in life. But you know, right on its tail is teaching God's Word. The Bible is God's inspired, inerrant, final message to man. And so many in the world today do not understand the message, and for that reason we have all of the denominations that are existent into this present age and all of the denominational doctrines. And I tell you, I don't want to be responsible for giving a man-made doctrine. And I trust that those who teach in our classes don't want to be responsible for creating a man-made doctrine. And we need to study the Word in order to make certain that we understand the Word. And in studying the Word, we need to understand the importance of searching God's Word to make certain that we do have all of our I's dotted and all of our T's crossed, so that we do realize the context as well as how these things would apply unto those that we are teaching and even into our very personal life. And as we enter into these classrooms, we need to stand ready and prepared to communicate God's message to people. But also as teachers, I tell you tonight that God wants you and me to understand that we need to be devoted to God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, something that really worried or concerned him is that if he had spent his life teaching others, if he himself became a castaway. Good people, the greatest lessons that we can give, at least in a very beginning stage, before others, is to live our lives faithful before God. And if you are currently serving as a teacher here in this congregation, or if you're going to serve, and I trust tonight we're not going to have any problems at all filling up the list for teachers, right? If you're going to serve as a teacher in this congregation, spend your life living for God, loving God, and living your life faithful before God. Why? Because not only does it impact you and your relationship with God, not only will it affect your family, but it will also affect the church here at East End and those precious kids that you go in to teach on a regular basis. What are some of the blessings that will come forth off of this? The Bible says that we have a responsibility to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I will tell you that if you spend time preparing for class, you are going to benefit so much more than what the kids do out of that. Amen, teachers? You will grow so much in your understanding of God's Word, and you will not only understand it, but you will see how that it fits in regard to who God calls us to be. And not only then will your understanding of these things abound, your abilities to move forward as a teacher and to teach in ways that you thought would never be possible. Good people, this is a way in which God worked in the first century, and it's the way in which God continues to work even unto this very day. And also, think about this, you may be responsible for helping to bring a soul unto Christ. There's nothing better than sitting across the table or standing in front of a class and teaching something from God's Word and seeing somebody's eyes light up. They get it. And then, when they get it, they respond and they follow through and they become a Christian. And good people, those who teach play a very vital part in that. And what a blessing that is, not only to that precious soul, and certainly to our God and the heavenly host, but unto anyone who's been able to be a participant in helping to bring someone to Christ. But also, I believe that those who are teachers will be remembered by their students. It's said in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4 that Enoch, being dead, still speaks. And, you know, in all of that, it's not that he was still able to verbally communicate in this life. Why? Because he was dead. But yet, the things that he had taught, the life that he had lived, served, even beyond his death, as an example to others. And people continue to talk about this individual and his love for God and how God worked in his life. And as teachers, long after you have passed on from this life to receive your reward, if you're the type of teacher that God expects you to be, you're going to be remembered. I talk from time to time with a lot of the men of the congregation, and even some of the ladies. I've heard you say this about the older ones in this congregation and how that you've learned a lot from these individuals in classrooms and such, and how that your life has been blessed as a result of these people teaching you. That's that remembrance that we're talking about that will continue on even after we've gone on to our reward. But in life figure, as a teacher, you will be able to help strengthen the body of Christ, to help people to be rooted and grounded in the truth, so that not only will their life be what God expects, but so that the future of the church will be solid from one generation unto the next. But finally, we understand is that as we are teaching, God will be glorified. Our life is to be focused around glorifying God. And a way in which we're able to accomplish that in the church, amongst other ways, is to go into a classroom and to sit down, or maybe to stand, and to teach others about our God and about the saving grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Tonight, I tell you that we have some amazing talent here at East End. Some who are using their talent wisely and going in and teaching classes. And we want to say thank you for that. Some who have taught but now are not, and we want to encourage you, get back involved in teaching. Some who have not, but yet you're talented. Why do I say that you're talented? You may say, Kevin, you don't hardly know me. How can you know my talents? I know you're talented because God has given you talents. And even if it's one talent, I trust from what I know of you, all of you, you've got more than one talent. But even if it's one talent, invest that talent and God will increase it so that you are multi-talented and so that you're very capable of doing everything in the church that God would require of you as a Christian.